Today I have on my heart to share something. I was over the weekend in Portland, Oregon, speaking to a bunch of youth there, and God really, really moved upon our hearts in our midst. There were about 7 or 10 people give their lives to the Lord. They declare publicly what is going on in their hearts. And it's just so amazing to see when the Holy Spirit moves among us. And I would like to share some thoughts. And the title of my message today would be Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. We live in a time where a lot of people, they just want to experience things. And they just want to go here or there. And they just want to partake from different conferences. But their lifestyle kind of living for God or walking in the Spirit ends after the conference. And I don't know if you met people like that, but it's almost like people forget that the Word of God is our guide, is the lamp to our feet. And when we spend time in the Word of God, when we spend time in our prayer closets, when we spend time with the Lord, He guides our life. And we're walking in the Spirit. We're just being able to fulfill the Word of God that we cannot naturally fulfill in our own strength. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to walk in accordance with His Word. And you have people that they just want to experience things, and after that experience, they still live their lives the way they want. And that brings a question to my heart. But the Bible warns us that there will be times when people will hear the gospel, will hear the Word of God. There will be actually people that might even say what the Word of God says, but yet denying its power. And it's written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 7. It says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." See, sometimes we think that, we kind of can tease women and say, well, women kind of spend a whole lot of time in front of the mirror, you know. But here it says the man. But also, obviously, it includes all of us. But we will be lovers of ourselves. We will love what we do, how we look, what impression we leave on people. Lovers of money. That's a big thing, especially in this country that we live. If we say, hey, can you do this for the Lord? Or can you take a mission trip? Can you do this? Can you volunteer here? And we're almost like, I have a whole lot to do. But then if we have an opportunity to just do something on the side and to get more money, especially if it's a lot, we would do anything to do that. Or maybe you're not. But in our human strength, in our human abilities, this is what we do. For something good, to volunteer, to help, it's kind of an agony. But when there is opportunity to have some gold in our pocket, so to speak, we are willing to go an extra mile, and we find the time to do that. So lovers of money, boasters, look what I've done. Look what I have achieved. It's everything about me. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God moving through us and giving glory to God. But it's us. Look what I did. Boasters. Proud. Obviously, it comes from that as well, that we become prideful people. Blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a huge thing. We live in a generation when kids disrespect parents, when kids don't even acknowledge that parents are there, and if it wasn't for parents, they wouldn't be there. And I went through a little bit of a life like that when I disrespected my parents. And I feel so badly about it. And if I have the opportunity, I can, come and try to make things up. If I can only go back, but I can't. But I can live now the right way. Amen? So to kids that are here, I would like to just encourage you to obey your parents. Because they lived a little bit longer. And they know things that we don't know. Even though we think that we know everything, But parents lived a life already. They already went around that corner that we're trying to go to. And it's so important to be able to just listen to them and obey them. Obey them. And for parents, the responsibility on us is so great to be able not to provoke our kids to anger, but to be able to lead them into the path of righteousness, to be examples in church, at home, at work, wherever where we at, to be those examples that when we do speak something, they will listen. Amen? Unthankful and also unholy. People that will just live their lives how they want it. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. That's a huge one, right? You drive through McDonald's and you can't have a little bit of a self-control. You have to turn through McDonald's. When the doctor says, stay away from that food. Hey, it's okay once. And tomorrow comes another day, and then another one. It's a figurative speech, but you know what I'm talking about. It's basically whatever what feeds our flesh, we want to do it. And it says that people will be lacking self-control. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is actually self-control. Amen? Amen. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, hectic, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a huge one. We live in this day. It's pleasure. Anything we will do, anything, is just lover for pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with healthy rest or healthy things to do, you know, that it's pleasant, it's okay. But it's going to come a time where we're going to be more concerned. And mind you, this is to the Christians. This is to the Christians. Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and this is to Christian people. It's not to the world, just to the world, but also pertains to Christians, that we will love pleasure more than God, more than God. And verse 5, this is what I would like to pay attention. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Have you met people that they always learn, they always go to college, but they never get to work? You know, there are some people like that. They take advantage, kind of like, you know, they have a room and board, especially if they get help, especially if somebody's paying for their college. You know, they're always trying to learn things, and they never get actually to experience what they're learning. And there is a type of Christian. Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy that there is a type of Christians like that, that they're always learning but never putting actually that to work in their lives. They're so busy putting everything in their heads, but they don't allow for the heart to be able to live it out now, that gospel, what they hear, what they learn. And in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Wow, that's a huge one. That's a huge one. And Pharisees and Sadducees, they were an example in the Jesus' day of this verse. They had everything together. They went to church, they went to temples, they did the law, they did all these things. So the form of godliness was there, but they were denying its power. Jesus Christ came and was preaching the power of the gospel to change people, and they were denying him. They were thinking that he's preaching a false gospel. Now, you know, people that are so captivated with themselves, what we just read, they will deny the power of God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he is asking us or gives us the power to live according to the word of God, to live a life laid down for the gospel. For Jesus Christ. It doesn't come everything about me and you and how I want to live. It's okay to do things, but ultimately we are submitted under God. We're not our own, the Bible says, but we belong. We have been bought with a price and we belong to Him, to Jesus Christ. And when we belong to Him, our rules don't apply anymore. Oh, I think I should live my life like this. Okay, good luck with that. No, I think we should live our life like this, according to the Word of God. And when we do that, the power of God is not going to be just known to us, but we're going to possess the very power of God, the Holy Spirit, that gives us the ability to do what He calls us to do. Amen? Let's not be people that only will quote the Scripture, but will live the Scripture. Let's not be the people that only will just have the form of godliness and deny its power, but possess the very power of God in us. Amen? You see, when we become Christians, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to yourself. But we belong to God. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, we are to glorify God within our body and also within our spirit. Whatever what we do, we are to glorify Him. We are to live our lives that brings glory to Him. And we become the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. And when we became born again Christians, the Holy Spirit came and dwells within us. Now we're the temple of God. In the Old Testament, God was dwelling in temples made by hands. But today, we are those people that God says, I will come and I will live within them.
They will be my people, and I will be their God. Amen? I will take their stony heart, and I will give them a heart of flesh. I will write my laws on their hearts. I will cause them to obey me. You see, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, that causes us to live this life that it's impossible for all of us to live on our own. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that leads us to repentance, that sanctifies us, that cleanses us, reminds us of who our Father is, cries out from inside of us, Abba Father. And the Holy Spirit also leads us into all truth. Say all truth. All truth. Not some of the truth, but all truth. If we want to do this life according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. And when He guides us, we're going to be able to embrace this all truth. We're going to say, well, it's not just a little bit of the gospel that I want to live it out. Well, I think that this is dumb and I'm not going to obey this because it feels good to the flesh. No, we're going to say, the Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth and give me the grace and the ability to be able to embrace all the truth that you have to offer to us. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So many people look for just experiences. But as I said, but if that experience does not last you a lifelong style, that something is wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's something wrong to go to a conference or to go to somewhere where you know, sometimes we can be reminded again of our purpose and why we live in this earth. But it's something wrong when we just attend all these things but still live the way we want to live. And we just so happy that we have experienced something and don't allow that experience actually to last in our life. You see, the Holy Spirit, it's not working only in a moment of a service as we're here gathered today, but also is available for all of us every day, every moment, every second of our lives. Amen. He is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's a teacher that will guide us and lead us, will give us wisdom in the circumstances that we might face sometimes. We can say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And I believe that He's available to guide you and help you. But we have to be willing actually to obey it and walk according to His Spirit. Amen? The moment we become born again is the moment when the Holy Spirit also comes within us. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit's work stops there. It continues throughout our lives. It continues. The more we read the Word, the more we spend time with Him, the more He just uses our lives, the more we become intimate with Him. The more we spend time with our spouses, the more we fall in love, hopefully. The more we honor each other, the more we enjoy each other, the more we get to know each other. And same thing with God, same thing with the Holy Spirit. The more we spend time with Him, it is the more that it's just we are aware of what is available for us. Amen. I remember one time I was talking with Pastor Carter, and I was just talking upon this topic that, you know, so many people that claim that the Holy Spirit moves and you see a whole lot of chaos when the Bible says that God is a God of order. He's a God of order. And sometimes we claim that, oh, you know, if you did this or you fell or if you were laughing or if you were doing all this crazy stuff, that means that the power of God moved. Can God move? Of course. God is capable of anything, all right? I'm not limiting God that God can only do this or that. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in our life, Pastor Carter says, is a changed life. It's a changed life. It's not just an experience that we get and live like the devil the second day, but it's a changed life. And if we're living according to the flesh, we should ask ourselves, is my life changed by the power of the Holy Spirit? When we claim that God is moving in our life, is it a changed life, or is it something that just brings only satisfaction to my flesh? It's a changed life. A life that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, it no longer belongs to us, but belongs to Him. And no longer I do things my way, but I do things His way. Now, don't forget that we might have struggles. But through it all, we're going to ask God, guide me, lead me, have your way in my life. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I would like to also mention that as the Spirit of God gives us strength to walk the supernatural life, there's also our flesh that kicks in. And the flesh says, don't do that. Do what I want. Live according to the pleasures. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and down says this, I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we are finding ourselves that we are just indulging in the flesh or indulging in some of the things from this world, that means we're not walking in the Spirit. It is a choice. God has given us the Spirit. It is a choice now that we have. Are we going to obey the Spirit of God, or are we just going to walk in the flesh? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, the Spirit and the flesh, they're fighting, if I can put it that way, against each other. The flesh wants its own, and the Spirit of God says, no, but do this. Do what is right. Amen? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, we are to be led. And how are we led? It's allowing the Holy Spirit actually to lead our life. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lawlessness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the like. Meaning all these negative things and such on, for which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We live in a generation when we want to make the gospel of Jesus Christ comfortable to our lifestyle. Instead of preaching a gospel that changes our behavior that are sinful into a godly behavior, but we say, you know, it's okay. God knows your heart. Yes, he does. I don't doubt that. But also the word of God is calling us that if we live, I'm not talking about if we used to live in some of these things, because the Bible says we were all born in sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. But now it's calling us to repentance. In another passage, Apostle Paul says, but some were you like that. Meaning before you used to be like that, you used to practice some of these things, but now you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's saying here, reminds you, if you call yourself a Christian and you're still living in this kind of things, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. Because the Bible says if you practice, if you live in this kind of behavior according to the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we can say, but how can a person live? How can a person be born again? But again, the Bible says, but now, in verse 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Meaning that the law cannot come and say, now you're guilty. Because if we are in Christ, the law does not have power over us. We live under the grace of God. But now we are not to use the grace of God for our own gain, to live how we want, but according to the word of God. Amen. And those who are in Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. You see, the Bible says to crucify our flesh. It doesn't mean that you have to go and find two sticks and kind of try to crucify your flesh. No, it doesn't talk about that. You don't have to go to Rome and beat yourself up and climb all the stairs to be able to punish your flesh for the sins. No, but we are being crucified with Christ. Meaning that we are not our own, we belong to Him. And now when I want to do something that is from our flesh, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength to say no to that. And this is how we're crucifying our flesh. We're saying, no, I want to do this, but I know it's wrong and contrary to the word of God. But God, I'm going to be agreeing with your word now. This is how we crucify our flesh. Oh, but I want to take a little sip here and a little sip there. I want to compromise the gospel according to my lifestyle. I want to do this or that. I want to just be kind to everybody and love everybody, even though that they do things contrary to the word of God. Yes, we are to love sinners but hate the sin. And this is, I think, the problem that we have sometimes, that with hating the sin, we also begin to hate people. And that's not the gospel. We're to love sinners but hate the sin. being able to be people of truth that will speak truth, that will not be so worried about offending somebody if we say the truth, but also be so worried about them that we will be compelled to say the truth in love and in kindness. Because when we say out of anger, we are also moved in flesh, but in love and in kindness. And those who are in Christ have crucified their flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, Apostle Paul is making it clear that if you're claiming that you live in the Spirit, that's great, now walk in it. You cannot separate them. If we're claiming that we're living in the Spirit, that we're born again Christians, we have a responsibility now to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Let us not become constantly provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not become those people that are provoking one another, envying one another, live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. And let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our life. Amen. Praise God. I would like to end this message. It's not a whole lot of words here, but worship team can come up, and we're just going to go into the few scriptures that will show us how the Holy Spirit moves in our life. And I did a lot of mistakes in my life. And I can remember so clearly, looking back, I can remember so clearly when I was under circumstances that for the flesh, it felt good. I wanted that, or I wanted to do that, or I wanted to partake from that, or I wanted to do that. And it felt good, but I always had that small voice in me that was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. You're never going to be fulfilled in that. Don't do it. And I can remember right now some of the decisions I made in my life. The Holy Spirit was always there to help me. You know, I used to kind of believe that, you're kind of bound. By what? I thought that the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be bound, but actually comes and breaks every chain in our life. And we become born again Christians. And the Holy Spirit is giving us the power to live this life that He's calling us to live. And I used to use all these excuses. Oh, I'm addicted to that, or I'm bound by that, or all these terminologies that we as Christians find as an excuse actually to live the way we want to live. But when we read this word, it says that the power of Jesus Christ is so much stronger than anything that can come against us. And he says, but not only to possess the Spirit, but also to walk in it. Walk in it, meaning it's an action. It requires action. You cannot stay on a couch and be like, oh, Holy Spirit, move upon me. It's an action. In a moment of temptation, get up and walk away. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power actually to move step by step where we want to walk backwards to that or that what we want to do. But it's an action. Walk in the Spirit. Oh, but I know the Spirit of God is in me and I feel like He's so powerless right now because the flesh is kicking in and I want to do this or that. No, action. Get up. Move away. Leave it alone. Turn around. Leave. And in those moments, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And He's stronger to help you. He's stronger to help you. And I'm not saying that you are not going to have struggles in life. But through the struggles, when we turn to Jesus Christ, when we do not justify our lifestyle that is sinful, when we don't come to a place, that's a dangerous place for a Christian, when we come to a place where we begin to justify something that the Bible is clearly saying that is wrong. And we live in a generation like that. We live in a generation like that. That the gospel has to be convenient. I never read for the gospel to be convenient, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is calling us actually to walk away from convenience and to live a laid down life for Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's going to hurt sometimes, but it's for His glory. Amen? About 2 weeks ago, Pastor Carter has mentioned on a conference call that we had with some leaders that there has been an Equality Act passed in the House. And some of you guys, probably Andrew, probably you know, being involved in politics. But Equality Act, it's something that it's basically bringing against the church or against people that will discriminate against other people that they don't agree with. So let's say you don't agree with a lifestyle that
of marriage that the Bible is calling between a man and a woman. And if you're saying, well, I believe the Bible. And then if somebody comes that believes that marriage should be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, and they come to your church and they're asking you to marry them, according to this Equality Act, you can actually get in trouble as a church, as a leader, as anybody. You can actually get in trouble because of discrimination. And they bring it back to the same level as, for example, when there was slavery, black and white. And they were bringing the same idea that you cannot discriminate the minority, you cannot discriminate. And it's creeping in, and it passed the House. And obviously, I don't think it's going to pass the Senate. But what I'm trying to tell you, this is the path that we're choosing in this country to go. And today, it might not pass for another few years, but tomorrow, you never know who's going to be in that House or in that Senate or in that White House. But this is the direction that we're choosing to go. And when we come to a point when we can say that, listen, if we want to live according to the gospel, you know, we might have to pay a price for it. I believe in my heart that there might come a day that it's not going to be popular. Right now, a whole lot of people want to be pastors, leaders, all these things. But it's not going to be popular to be one of those. Because you might have to be willing to give your life for what you preach. It might not be popular to preach the whole counsel of God, the whole truth of God in churches. And a lot of churches will be filled with people, thousands of people, but it doesn't mean that they are possessing the power of God. They might have a form of godliness, but denying its power, as in the beginning I mentioned. And we as Christians, we have to be prepared. And how do we know that we are gonna be able to withstand and stay strong? It's actually taking action right now to walk in the Spirit, not agreeing to the flesh, not giving in to things, but walking in the Spirit. And you might say, well, then who can God choose? Who can God really choose to work these things in their life? Who can God choose? Us, broken people. People that say that I don't have it all together, but I'm agreeing with the truth of God. People that say, you know what, I don't have it, all my past is right in front of me. And God says, but actually you, I'm gonna choose to use you. And why? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29 says this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. See again, it's bringing the flesh. Walking according to the Spirit or to the flesh. When you walk according to the Spirit, you don't have to have a whole lot of wisdom, worldly wisdom. You just have to agree with the Spirit of God. But not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see, not many of those standards that the world is saying that you should be qualified to do this or that. But it says in the kingdom of God, it's reversed. Once the power of the Holy Spirit comes in within our life, we're actually stronger. We're actually more than conquerors. Amen? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. You see, if you feel like you're despised, if you feel like your life does not amount to anything in life, God is choosing you to use you for His glory. And the only reason He's choosing to do that is because He's going to deposit His power of the Holy Spirit in us, in me and you, to do this supernaturally. Amen? And the things which are not, to bring to nothing, to the things that are. And why is He doing this? Why is He choosing all these things? Why is He choosing people like that to empower them by the Holy Spirit? In verse 29 says this, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It has nothing to do with me and you. Because the moment that we think that we achieved, as I read in the beginning, that I achieved something, I'm proudful now. I'm qualified for that. But no, He says, no, I'm going to do all these things, not because you deserve it or because you're capable, but because I chose to do this through your life, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the grace and the strength to live this supernatural life, to give you a backbone to stand for what is right, to stand for what is truth. And the only reason I'm going to give this is because I have deposited in you the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason also I'm doing this, so no flesh can glory in my presence.
Because God says, my glory I will not share with anybody. I'm not going to give it to you, to me, to Pastor Nick, to anybody. He's not going to give the glory, because all the glory belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen? I love this verse in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, says this: not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, and nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. By the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit that is always available to us, that guides us into all truth, that gives us the supernatural power to live a godly life, that gives us the strength to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, to be joyful, to be kind, to be all the things that the Word of God is calling us to do. It is by the Spirit. You can't do it on your own. That's why you're failing, maybe, because you're trying so hard to do on your own. But what is asked of us is to be able to yield our lives to Him, and not just to possess the Spirit of God, but also to walk in the Spirit. Walk. Say with me, walk. Walk. One more time. Walk. What does it mean? It's action. Say action. 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 It's not sitting on a couch, but it's action. Going to the Word of God. Agreeing with the Word of God. Turning away, turning around from the things that you know that you're not supposed to be doing that. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you power because He possesses in you. Amen? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We can do this life only by the Spirit of God. That's it. Only by the Spirit of God. Amen? I would like to invite you to stand with me, please. And if you're here in this room, that you might say, Pastor Powell, I call myself a Christian. When people ask me, I even say that I'm a Christian with a smile on my face. But I am walking according to the flesh. There is no way I'm walking according to the Spirit. I'm walking according to the flesh. And the flesh wants all these kinds of things in my life. And I give in to those things so easily. And I would like for you to pray for me. And I'm not going to invite you to the front, but I'm going to just ask you if you can close your eyes, please. And if this is you, that you're acknowledging that you're walking according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit, and now you want to take action to agree with God and say, I'm going to walk according to the Spirit now. If you can raise your hand, then we're going to pray together. I see it. I see it. I see it. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray together. Father, we thank you. Let's lift our voices, church, and we're going to pray for one another. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word has power in our life. I thank you, God, that you are calling us to live this life that it's impossible for us to live in our own strength. But you had given us the power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life. And so often we give in to the flesh. So often we just give up into the flesh to do the things that the flesh wants to do because it's pleasant for a moment. Lord, but your Spirit roars against the flesh. And you're calling us, oh God, not to be people that only claim that we have your Spirit, but deny your power. But acknowledging that your Spirit, it is the power that gives us the strength to live the supernatural life. In you, oh God. In you and through you. And I pray, oh God, that you help us. Help us right now to take action. Not to just say that your Holy Spirit is in us, but also to walk in the Spirit, to agree with your Spirit, to agree with your Word and say, I'm going to do this thing this way, according to the Word of God. And in that moment, we crucify our flesh. We crucify our fleshly desires to agree with you, oh God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for every person that raised their hands, that are acknowledging that they're giving into the flesh, into the things that are bringing such a pleasant or pleasures in a moment, but yet are having an eternal effect on our spiritual walk with you. Father, I pray that you help us.
Thank you, Jesus.
I pray that you help us to walk in the Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
To agree with your word, to embrace your word, even when it hurts. Even when it's not popular, but to stand for what is truth. Lord, we live in a day of age that you're training us today how to walk in the Spirit, because we don't know what tomorrow might be. We don't know what kind of laws might be passed tomorrow. But for us to be able to withstand tomorrow, we have to withstand today. and give us the grace and the freedom that we have to learn how to fight. Teach our fingers to war. Teach our hands to war. Oh God, I pray that you give us a desire to seek you. That you give us a desire to walk with you and to do things your way. And we want to thank you, God, that you're not looking for people that are noble. You're not looking for people that have it all together. But you're looking for people that have their lives all shattered apart. And you said, but not by your might and not by your strength I'm going to do this, but by my spirit. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God, we are your people. And we choose to do this your way today. Give us the strength today to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.